What's good, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck. And today, no has, unfortunately, got a little
he
busy.
Quit.
Oh, no. But yeah, I mean, I just got back from California. So we got a bunch of Smash turns to talk about. We got to catch up with Gommel as well from last week because we were celebrating our 200, talking about just like the podcast in general and the journey, which was really fun. If you guys didn't see that episode, make sure to check it out. And of course, if you guys want even more wonderful Tweak Talks content, make sure to check out the Patreon. And yeah. Gavin, since he is retired, support Gavin on YouTube, Twitch, and Medify. So all those links are going to be down there rotating throughout the show, so make sure to support Gavin because he does work hard to bring all this wonderful content to you guys. And on that note, how are you doing, Gavin? How's
Thank
your week?
You. I'm doing well. I have been doing a little bit of something different for the bonus content. I did upload some Matchbox stuff to the Patreon, which was cool. Maybe we could get more into that in general throughout the episode.
Yo, yeah. After this episode, you should just start some Matchbox and me and Pink will just hang out with you and that'll be some content. Easy.
That sounds pretty cool. I think you have a good idea there. Yeah, I'm doing well. Just bonanza waiting room. We're almost
it's very soon.
We're almost there. Yeah, it's 2 days away, but it's basically 1 day away in my head because I'm just streaming it at midnight. Yeah, I'm probably going to sleep in tomorrow and do a really long stream at midnight.
Are you going to get the hard copy or did you like order a hard copy and then you also download it? So like right at midnight.
That's what everyone was asking today on Twitch. I pre-downloaded it since I want to play it as soon as I can, but I will grab it physically whenever I can too, just to have it.
Yeah. I didn't know if you were about, I feel like you do like physical copies. I've been to your place and yeah. I've seen you have like a good amount yes. of physical copy stuff. So
I got Mario Kart physically. I actually didn't even digitally download that one. But yeah, there's not many like Switch 2 like big first party games, so I might as well keep up with it. Yeah, I played the demo, which was really fun. I went to Target and played the demo.
A picture.
It was ridiculous, bro. Every button is so dedicated to something. Like all four triggers do something different. All the face buttons do something different. It was overwhelming. Like combinations of buttons do stuff like in like a good way. It was overwhelming. Like you have options, bro, like on some 3D Mario type stuff. Nice. Honestly, it feels a little different than that too. But yeah, I'm doing well. Been streaming. I just was streaming some Smash and Shiny Hunting, the usual. Been doing Medify lessons a bit more. And yeah, I'm doing well. How are you doing, Marcus?
Yeah, you know, I mean, life's life. Nah, honestly, I'm pretty good. We are deciding to put little man in daycare due to like some health complications with Stacy's mom. And that joint is expensive, man.
Oh,
daycare is brutal. Usually, most people are paying like, or I don't know about most, but it seems like the average going cost, at least in Maryland, is anywhere between like $300 to $400 a week, which ends up, you know, that quickly ends up being $15,000, $20,000 a year or something like that. You know what I mean? So we're sending him most likely to like a special school, like a specialized school. It's called like a Montessori school. And we've heard really good things about them, but those are super expensive. So we're looking at like $24,000 a year or something like that.
Nah.
Until
but the way we look at it is, sorry, my cat, you can see his tail just keeps appearing on the screen.
Special guest, let's go.
The way we think about it is like, we're only going to have one that's been decided, like that's locked in. We're only having one. And we want to give him like the best life possible. Like we don't want to like shortcut him anywhere that we can. Like, yeah, we could save a couple $100 or whatever, like here and there, but like money comes and goes. And if we need to make more money, we'll figure out a way to make more money and all that. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be it's going to be tough. Not like we can't afford it. It's outside our budget or anything. It's like, just thinking about it like, dang, $800 a month could have gone to some other bill, you know, if we did like a $300 one or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, that's where we are. I think it's starting like Monday, this upcoming Monday. So it'll be cool. It'll be a different experience because, like, we've been with him for pretty much 2 years. Like, he's never gone to daycare. So it's like 2 years of just wake up, little man's there. Like, he's going to be there throughout the day. We did take him to our parents, like, or my parents, like, twice a week, but still, it's going to take some getting used to. But yeah, life's good. Life's great. I'm excited for that. Work's been good. Stace is, like, applying for a new job. So she has her second interview. What day is today? Oh, when y'all hear this, it'll be the day of, I think, assuming it comes out Wednesday. If it comes out
Wednesday or Thursday.
Thursday, then yeah, the day before. But so hopefully that goes well. She would have summers off, so it'd be really nice. Pay increase plus summers off. Less days of working, more money. Hey. Like, but yeah, life's good. I mean, if it doesn't go well, she already is making good money, has a job. So yeah.
That's another opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Let's go.
And then Chuck, I mean, you just did some flying. I know you mentioned it earlier, but how was your stay in SoCal?
It was fun. You also, I mean, just talking about childcare, I'm going through a similar situation, but it's the other side of the spectrum where it's like elderly care. Mm. And it just, also to me, brutal. It always, oh, I think I'm lagging. Oh, lag.
Bro is not lagging. Bro might be lagging. he wasn't lagging. Then bro turned into some pixels.
Dang, am I back?
You're good, yeah. So.
Wait, is Chris here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're good.
Okay.
Sorry. Might not be great.
I couldn't see good. Chris's like screen. Okay, cool.
Oh.
But yeah, I guess we'll start from here. Yeah, now I can see it. But yeah, Pink, just talking about childcare, I'm on the other side of the spectrum where we're currently looking for places for my mother to stay. She's like older and has dementia and stuff. So we're looking into that. And let me tell you, man, elderly care, child care, that stuff is expensive, especially elderly care, because the baby boomer generation, bro, man, I wish like, so even like the conversation you were just having, Pink, baby boomers got carried so hard because you didn't even have to think about that kind of stuff. It was just like getting a house and all the other stuff was so much more affordable back then. God, I wish I was a baby boomer. That generation, the most carried generation, by the way, baby boomer generation.
True,
dude. It because our it's way harder for us, man. I don't even care. Like, I will straight up say that. But anyway, the trip to SoCal, dude. They were hella.
They could carried. Just waste their ult whenever they wanted. Like,
never punished. Have a mortgage. You know, this family of four. Not even have to really think about it. Just whatever, dude. Just let it rock. But yeah, SoCal was super fun. I had a great time. I haven't been to SoCal regional in like a long time. I mean, I barely get to go out to Smash events. I was really surprised when Genji was like down to fly me out, get a hotel for me and all that stuff for the event. They brought out a bunch of players as well. We saw a bunch of NorCal talent, a bunch of talent from Mexico as well showing up to the event, UAS, which was super fun. And it seems like they want to do it more. McDonald's was one of the sponsors for the event. McDonald's Gaming.
Saw that.
Yeah, dude, the Hamburglar jokes were great, dude. Hamburglar and Ronald McDonald jokes when me and Bam were just commentating top four of the final bracket were amazing. I had a great time. And even just commentating with Bam felt nostalgic as well because, you know, Bam is back in SoCal, but was in NorCal for if not all of Ultimate or all of Ultimate, if not like most of it. So, yeah, it was a nostalgic experience overall. I've been away from SoCal. I've been living in Hawaii for like a year and a half now. So it was fun, man. I mean, the tournament was in Orange County, which is only like a 10-minute drive away from where I used to live with Void. So I pretty much just stayed at Void's place the entire time, got to hang out with the house the entire weekend, which is really cool. Hit up all of my usual places. So Cali Tacos, got a Cali burrito. I got, you know, In-N-Out, went to Salt and Straw. You know, I hit spamming. All the check marks. I was spamming for sure. And then I got to see a bunch of Smash homies too. And I got to catch up with a lot of SoCal Smash homies. So that was really fun. Everyone's very excited for the next game. So
yeah, that doesn't even exist, which is funny.
Yeah, yeah. And then shouts to anyone who came up to me and said congratulations on episode 200 of Tweak Talks. Appreciate that. And obviously I let them know really cool. like there, but I'll also shout them out here too. That was really sick. And it was just, I mean, I'm just not usually in an environment as much as I used to in terms of Smash. So it's very refreshing when I get to go out and people show appreciation for the podcast and I just get to talk and catch up with a bunch of homies too. So it was a good time and it was a great tournament too. So I think there was a lot of players that turned a lot of heads. And I also think SoCal slowly but surely like leveling up again. You know, I think SoCal had their peak during, especially like beginning of ult Smash 4 when 2GG was around. I think just the region had a bunch of resources and now the region is trying to bounce back after losing a valuable resource like 2GG. Yeah. Apparently when your region has a major every month, your region's pretty good. I mean, case study, look at Japan. Japan has a major every week and they're super duper duper good. So yeah, it's overall had a great time. I guess, did you guys want to start talking about Gamo? I know we kind of cut short on Gamo last week, so I think we could open it up with Gamo this week, right?
Yeah. I kind of want to pull up the top eight bracket again because I did watch it, but I already
definitely got to talk about Bonanza. Because I am very excited for that game.
We definitely do. Yeah, I streamed it. The Gommel top 8 and everything. Let me pull it up.
Go.
In that building. Would be the first thing to talk about. Bro. Sometimes, honestly, a lot of the time, it doesn't look like you can win against Vargo. Like, most of the time, like, more than 60% of the time, bro is the best.
Yeah, it always it feels like he's the best player in the room, whether he wins or lose. Like, yeah, I think most of the time, you can kind of, like, look back on the bracket and just be like, yeah, he's the best player in the room.
But there was some other cool stuff, too. Like, Cola had a little bit of extra passion in this bracket. Like, that set versus Zomba was very noticeable. Like, Cola was really hungry for, like, each individual W. That was really cool to see. Like, he was, like, extra locked in. And there were some other things that happened for the first time. Like, Sonics versus Hurt have been avoiding each other for a comical amount of time. And we just saw how prepared Sonics is for Snake in any capacity. Like, god damn.
Well, I also just, when I think about that matchup on paper, I think what makes Snake strong is any character. I mean, I think this is a proven thing throughout Ultimate, but if you can fly, you're probably going to be pretty good. So I'm looking at Rob. I'm looking at Snake, right? We got some characters that can fly sky high in the building.
Yes.
For some reason, the characters that can fly, I don't know why, but they're also like thick, like they are heavy. So it's like you fly really high and then you get punished for it. Who cares? You get back to the ground. And then it's like, it always impresses me when there's characters or, you know, character slash pilot combinations that really make characters like Rob or Snake have to care, right? And I think Sonic is that Sonic plus Sonics, you know, very studied player, really can push the advantages of Sonic the Hedgehog. And I mean, again, Sonic was a character that everyone looked down on for quite some time. I know Sonic plus Tweet plus Gavin was a believer in Sonic pre-quarantine. Oh, he always thought the character was bullshit. and to be fair, a lot of the Sonic community, like most of the good Sonic players thought that Sonic was good. Obviously, like, there was a bunch of complaints really early on. And I know, did Sonic get some buffs to fix up some of his things? I actually don't know if that character. Okay, yeah. So, like, I mean, there was some changes that helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Up air was one that, like, really didn't. Like, Sonic used to have moves that just didn't work before. Yeah. And then when they work, it's like, uh-oh. Maybe they should not work. Maybe that was for the best, right? But yeah, I just feel like Sonic can up B really high. And whenever a character can up B that high into the air and then follow up with a strong move like back air, that's where it gets really crazy, because that's where Snake is going to have to like pull back some of the recoveries. And instead of going high and going for a B reverse trade with grenade, then you're kind of getting Snake to go more towards the ledge in those scenarios. Maybe you can kind of catch Snake going towards ledge or catching the directional air dodge to ledge if they're cutting it short. So I think Sonic's always well prepared, well studied. And yeah, I honestly didn't know who was going to win this set. It was kind of a toss-up for me because when I thought about character-wise, I'm like, man, I feel like Sonic, the character, has all the tools to defeat Snake. But it's also weird because Hurt's coming back from this hiatus. I'm just mad that Hurt, and like you can, I would love to hear your opinion on this, Gavin, because I feel like Hurt had this really crazy come up, and I'm not like before Kagaribi happened, I felt like Hurt was the best player in the world.
Yeah, there was a window where I think there was no doubting that you had to give him his flowers, that he was potentially the best player in the world.
But then he kind of got that ripped away from him, and it didn't feel like he got to compete. Really, he had the momentum, right? So to me, that pisses me off as a fan.
It feels shitty for sure. It doesn't feel great. But going into this set specifically, I thought Hurt had 0% chance of winning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And is that the character diff?
I think Sonic's is the most prepared for this than anyone else. He plays against Snake constantly. So
Oh yeah, because that's a good mention. He grinds a lot in Vegas, right? MVD, yes, and all that other stuff. Yeah.
So he plays it beautifully. I actually roomed with Sonic's at that Miami tournament at the end of 2024, and we talked about Smash a lot, before, after. We just talked a bunch, and I struggle with Snake a lot, especially as a Diddy Kong player, and he just gave me the whole rundown, bro. Like, his entire flow chart, all these things he does, like, it's so impressive. How consistently he's been beating Snake for a long time, how he's really upset that he somehow doesn't run into Hurt, like, one of them loses, like, they're always projected to play, but they never end up doing it. So, like, with the general knowledge about Smash Ultimate and Sonic's that I have, plus having the extra knowledge from rooming with him and talking with him, I just knew that he was moving on in the bracket. Like, he's just not going to lose to Hurt. And to be honest, the set was actually really close. The games were close. The set wasn't that close. But, I don't know. I even said it live. I was like, Sonic's is winning this for sure. Yeah, also the matchup's probably pretty hard. Having the run speed to dismantle, like, the perfect timing for all of the grenade pulls and stuff. Like, Sonic can run in and steal a dropped grenade from Snake before he's, like, actionable. Or, like, he can punish, like, a grenade toss in ways that other characters could only dream of. He'll kill you. So it's interesting. Yeah, I do remember seeing that dash check and being like, damn, that dash check was troll. but it, in the same breath, it's also proof that, like, Hurt is just, like, next level. If he's not number one, he's, like, right next to the number one player. So, like, he's right in that top five or whatever. It was a rough roll. He's going to have to create something entirely different to beat Sonic's, I think.
I don't know. For her specifically, I mean, we'll never know unless he, like, comes out and say it. But like Charles said, it is really, really, really rough that I think his tournament performances were, like, at majors was, like, second, first. Like, I think he got, like, second to, like, three firsts or something like that. And
yeah,
he was definitely on pace, number one in the world. Gets banned. The tournament he gets banned, he also, like, underperformed probably because he got banned. I mean, it's hard to know. He also ran into some rough matchups. I mean, he played Monty and, like, Game Watch and all that. So maybe that affected him. Maybe not. Again, we won't know. And then, like, his opportunity at being number one for the season pretty much just immediately disappeared. Because I feel like the idea of, like, most likely whoever won Kagaribi is probably going to end up being number one. Who knows how much that is weighed. Sorry, cat just knocked over my light. Who knows how much that truly is weighed, but, like, you also miss the opportunity of getting to prove that to yourself, even if it doesn't turn out that Akol ends up being number one because he won Kagarib, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm telling you, Charles, he's locked in.
Sheesh.
Because it's like, you're clearly looking like the best player in the world, and you, the biggest tournament of all time in any Smash game happens, and you don't get to compete. And it's just like, what that does to your mental, like, I'm sure, like, yeah, he's back, but like, is he really back? You know what I mean? Like,
you gotta ease into it.
That
it's gradual, I would say.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, let's say Smash 4 happened and like you got banned right before Civil War, like, and then you just have to lock back in right afterward, like a couple all right months
later. Yeah,
yeah, like I'm back, except at least with Civil War there was like a lot more life left, you know what I mean? Like, it felt like there was a lot more life.
Yeah, there's more insult to the injury, I think, because of the timing. That's true.
Yeah,
there's not going to be another Kagarebe.
No, not like that.
Or anything like that. Yeah. Ultimate. Yeah. I mean, because I mean, you went to the tournament, Gavin, and I mean, I would love to hear your thoughts on like the vibe of the tournament in a sense of, because it's like, I'm thinking when I love that Pink brought this up, because Civil War happens, you know, a ton of people get upsetted, but all the top players are probably just like, all right, cool. I mean, there's the 2GG C champ. That was one of the tournaments in the 2GGC or 2GG championship. It's called 2GGC for sure. Sorry, I'm like mixing it up. But yeah, that was just part of a bigger circuit. So there's still the finale of the circuit to look forward to. There's even more tournaments afterwards. I'm assuming what the vibes were at Kagarebe is like, oh shit, this is like the last ultimate tournament that like super duper matters, is what I'm assuming.
Yeah, like the vibes were, to be honest, I think we're lucky the vibes were that intense in the first place, that we managed to pull off like such a special vibe at that time in the first place. And then when the Hurt stuff happened, like around the time, wasn't it like the level up before Kagarebe or something?
Was it level up was or was it Battle
before
BC?
Kagarebe.
Oh, Battle BC.
I think it was at Battle BC that he got.
Yeah, sorry.
It was like a week or two before level up.
So. Okay. So how I feel is like, or how we felt, like a lot of us thought it negatively impacted Kagarebe to the point where like we were really upset and like we were trying to, like, how can we help? Like, how can we figure out a way to get him to play? But like, obviously we didn't end up doing anything too like drastic. But yeah, we were upset. We thought it really negatively impacted something that we were already lucky to have in the first place in Kagarebe. But it was still a great event.
Yeah, for sure.
In so many ways, in pretty much every way. Yeah, I think the main thing I want to get across is looking back at that Japan trip / Kagarebe is like, damn, I'm really glad it was that magical of a tournament at a point in Ultimate where there's not a lot of magic. There really isn't, at least to me and a lot of people around me and like in our general community. So that was cool. But yeah, it definitely stung for a while. And I'm sure Hurt will ease back into at least, like, you know, there's like, he still played great, but like, I'm sure he'll ramp up. Cause you know, it's not like there's a new game coming out next week. So we're playing this game for a while.
We got some time. We don't have a lot of meter. Ultimate's kind of low on
we
meter.
We at least have, I think like we at least have another 12 months. It's not like, I can't say like 6 months, cause there's no way. That would be extremely fortunate, but yeah. So the Sonics and Hurt stuff, I really wanted to bring up. I really wanted to bring up Cola, because it felt like a really noticeable like passion. He was playing great. And then the big thing is like Spargo's just so unbeatable. Like, it's kind of like Light, where it's just, he just gets his hands on you and you just can't play the game. And it reaches a point where you can't bring it back. That's how I feel. Like, it's brutal watching him play against players, because he gets like an opening and it's just systematic. And it reminds me of how like a lot of really good players get at the end of a Smash game, where it's just it's so hopeless when they get a hit versus you, because it's not even just about being at a deficit. It's about everything that like comes with it. And like, you just, everything is a losing scenario because they're just so consistent and systematic. And that's what Spargo feels like. Like the best players at the end of Smash 4 is what it felt like. It felt hopeless when they put you on the ledge, or like there's just so many simple things that are just Smash focused that they were all just so good at, that it was just hopeless in like such like generic ways. And Spargo does that a lot in Ultimate, which I think is harder to do than it was in 4. So because in 4, like, you could like really like oppress your opponent. In Ultimate, there's like a lot of ways they could figure out a way to bring the game back and get out of it. In Smash 4, it was only rage bullshitting your opponent. And like, some of them were easier to avoid than others. So
Spargo's like interesting because everybody's like, bro, he's just mashing. And it's like,
it's so, that is so funny.
I don't get like how that thought,
he hates like, being called a masher. Like, a lot of people say it like as a joke to him, like his peers. He hates being called a masher.
It's actually funny. Y'all are like opposites.
What, play style?
Almost, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, like everybody calls you a camper and you're like, I hate being called a camper. And he's like, a masher. And they're like, he hates that. But it's just like, sometimes I watch him and I'm like, it feels like you like sat there and you just took 10 million notes on what every single player that you're likely to play against is going to do, and you cannot be wrong. Like, you cannot be wrong. It is ridiculous how many times I like see him hit someone one time and he's like, yeah, they're going to double jump here, they're going to drift this way, and then after they drift this way, I hit them one time. I'm not going to hit them vertically this time, because when I hit them vertically, they like, and the extra. Bro, it's ridiculous. He's like, oh, if I put them on the ledge, they're going to do this, 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 this. Then finally, they'll roll here. All right, I'm covering the roll. I'm like, bro, like, oh, he's going to hold the ledge a little bit too long, and I'm just going to do a short hop down air, sour spot, forward smash. Like, all these, like, things, I'm just like, what, like, why do you even know this? Like, and like, how are you not
while playing your fastest too?
Yeah, like, it's just like, all right, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, this is all right. Hey, all right, next stock.
It's over.
Huh?
I described the scenario on stream too, that I genuinely believe on paper has some truth to it. If Steve hits you with like up till block extensions, blah blah blah, and does like the, well, like that, at least the 60 or whatever.
Right.
And then mines, because of the distance created between the two, I think the game's over. I genuinely believe in a lot of scenarios, if not every, like the game could be very much over right then and there based on how it progresses for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
If that's the way you just got
set back from the damage plus the materials he gained, now you're just fighting an uphill battle while he's getting more and more. Like, I just think it just, and it kind of reminds me of like how a player can systematically do that to you regardless of Steve too. And if I could compare it to two players I'm familiar with, it feels like with Spargo, it's like Zomba's like RPS and positioning and like lightness, you know, it feels like a combination, like, he did these little things as Roy versus Sonics throughout their games that were just so beautiful. Like, he did, like, the classic, like, Crom Roy player, like, move forward, air dodge back. And he would do it while he was ledge trapping, and he'd be perfectly in between, like, neutral and roll. And it was so fucking crazy how much pressure he was putting on a character like Sonic that is so good off the ledge and on the ledge. Specifically on the ledge. Just little things, like, and he hadn't played Roy the entire weekend, and it was just like, he wasn't playing Roy as much as he was playing the game, which is really scary, because his positioning was just on point. But then he also had the down airs and the down air forward smashes, which was the cherry on top. I think he might have won the tournament without those. So, like, you know, it's not like he's not doing the Roy stuff, but it was just systematic positioning, and both of them played really well at deficits too. Like they kept it competitive the whole time, but yes, like they were both just waiting for their opportunities. And I don't know, he's just very good versus Sonic. His positioning was fantastic. Like Marcus was saying, like he capitalizes off an air dodge or a double jump. Like, I don't know. I think managing your risk reward versus these top players so consistently isn't easy. Like not getting caught sleeping, especially with a character like Cloud or something, right? It is great. And it's weird because I also wanted to talk about Leo a bit because he did great.
Amazing run.
And we saw a little bit of extra passion because he lost to Hurt previously and he managed to pull out the win versus Hurt. So that was like one of the sets of the event, at least for like in my circle, like for myself and like my Twitch chat. We really liked that one. But it's not like Spargo and Leo play similarly. You know, Leo's like a veteran from like Smash 4, like around the time we both kind of came up at a similar time.
Leo's part of the Smash 4.
Spargo feels like Smash 4 strengths in Ultimate. Whereas I feel like Leo has fully adjusted to playing more Ultimate than Smash 4 when I'm thinking about their matches. And like, do you know where I'm coming from with that? It's so strange. Like, I don't think Leo is showing off his Smash 4 strengths as much as you would expect in Ultimate. Whereas I feel like Spargo looks like more of a Smash 4 vet than Leo does on the sticks currently. And I'm not saying that's a bad or good thing for either player. I'm just saying I think Leo plays more Ultimate mechanically than you would expect. And we are like many years deep into Ultimate, but when I'm watching Spargo, it looks like a Smash 4 player just slowly choking their opponent out. That's how I feel about it, which is interesting because it should be reversed. I don't know. At least this bracket specifically, it felt like a big separation because it's not like Spargo doesn't, you know, play really fast with the low lag aerials occasionally, get like the spot dodges in there and stuff. But at least in Leo's matchup specifically, he was using a lot of spot dodge, a lot of roll in, which is kind of Snake specific, and it can be quite strong versus Snake, as weird as that sounds, because if he turns around and up tilts your roll, it feels like the worst decision ever. But rolling behind some characters like Snake can be effective. But it's noticeably very Ultimate compared to Spargo, which felt like more like just oppressive Smash 4 style to me. I don't know. I don't know how y'all feel about that.
I think Spargo is like the impressive thing about me, especially for this run, was the speed and the sequencing. Yeah, I think Smash 4, when I think of really strong characters, they had really good sequences, especially because neutral air dodge, there was only one type of air dodge. If you air dodge to the ground, you know, you had a bunch of lag. So there was these sequences that characters could do. I'm just going to speak to the character I played, like Fox, right? Where you up tilt someone, you'd go into up air, they would air dodge it. That's the only out, because if they try to jump, you would clip them with up air. But if they jump, you do more up airs because now they don't have double jump. Now they can't get out. And if they air dodge back to the ground, you go back into up tilt. So like there is like these kind of preset sequences. And it feels like Spargo is so studied in the matchups that he plays that he has these sequences mapped out and he knows exactly when and where to start said sequences. Like Pink was saying, and like Gavin was saying, like, you know, even on the Waveland back, he would be at this exact position to be out of range of X, but still like make his opponent in range of Y, right? And then he plays out the sequence, and it's not like the sequence is going to be the same every time, which is the impressive part, because it's like a very advanced flowchart. But the crazy thing is, it's like this flowchart that's happening, but it's happening so fast that you almost feel like, man, is it a flowchart? Because it feels so impossible to do that. But I think Spargo is that well studied, which is just, to me, absolutely insane. And the speed in which he does the sequences, insane. How many characters he has that he's able to bring out in tournament and he's able to execute on this, it's just crazy. And I mean, I've joked on the mic and I've called Spargo a master before. You know, like there's that one throne clip where like Leo counters him, you know, two or three times, and I said that. But like, obviously he's not a masher. Like to me, mashing is like a wolf that's doing spot dodge up smash twice in a row. It's like, okay, well, you're not, like, you've checked out. And you're sequencing and not weaving and reacting. You're just sending a sequence and seeing if it works, right? And then not reacting during the sequence to change the different flow charts, to change the direction of the flow chart depending on what you see in the screen. I think Spargo is very good at doing exactly that. Starting a sequence, knowing exactly where to position for a sequence, and then going whichever flow chart he needs to go to on reaction. And he's doing it extremely fast. He's doing it with a bunch of different characters. So, and I'll defend any player that can win with this many characters to the end. If someone says like, oh, this X player is carried. I mean, the first players I think of is Tweak, Leo, Spargo. These are all players that are super good at the game, have incredible results with multiple characters. Now there's other players that have results that are similar to the players I just listed, but they did it with a character, right? So that I can't defend as much because it's like, obviously this player is extremely strong with this specific character and you get results with this specific character. And at the end of the day, it's just results in that sense. But when you bring in the word like carried, it's a bit more subjective, right? But like, to me, it, when you are able to win with more characters, to me, what that sounds like, or that what that tells me, is you understand this game to a deeper level than someone else that is a solo main, right? And you also have to just put like way more time into the game because you have to learn way more different matchups and stuff like that. So I think what Spargo showed us at Gommel was extremely impressive. And yeah, I just think his gameplay is going to continue onward. He's going to continue on to the next game. I have 100% faith he'll be very successful in the next Smash game, or even if Ultimate had like a surprise patch or something like that, right? Like this is a player that can adapt to change and showcase his skill with multiple characters.
Bro, sometimes I'm just watching him and I'm dude is that guy. Like, man, yeah, you're right, man. It's like, and it's funny too, because like you can tell how many hours he puts into the game just by watching him. Like, there's
just watch his plant, bro.
Yeah, like you, bro. And the crazy thing is, like, I mean, his plant's winning. Like, he can win with what feels like anyone, honestly. Like, with, I wouldn't be surprised if characters, he just decided, like, somebody was like, hey, Dono, you play this character at the next tournament, bro, will just show up and win. And it'll just be like being like some of the best players in the world. You're like, what is going on? Like, because, like, even if you think about, like, his Matchbox, right, where, like, he won, like, 80-something sets, like, he's not playing, like, you know, like, not the greatest players. He's playing some of the best players in the world that also play on Matchbox, and he's just, what? I'm going Plant. I'm going Byleth. I'm going Corrin. I'm going, like, whatever, man. Like, it's all good. I got it. I'm going to get the dub anyway. And I just, it's hard for me to, like, deny how good he is at the game. Like, there are people out there who are like, yeah, but he kind of fell off, which is funny because Sonics and Spargo hadn't been in like a grand finals in quite some time, and they both just happened to make it this event. So that was good to see, especially seeing Sonics bounce back. I mean, his mental fortitude is insane, but there are people out there, yeah, Spargo done, man. Spargo washed, like, blah, blah, blah. And all it takes, honestly, from what it looks like, is Spargo to get mad. Hey, I lost in Rivals. I'm tight. And just I'm going to try to win Alt now. Bro literally tweeted, I'm tight. I'm going to try to win Alt to make myself feel better. And then he just won. Okay. Like,
quite the loser's run, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he beat Leo, and he normally has a tough time with Leo. You know, they go back and forth a lot. Look, I got to shout out the Steve player, bro. I know. Like, what are you doing? Shouting out Steve.
That's fine. Yo,
I've been, Anvil was nice. I've been championing Onin in DMs for like 3 weeks now, like 3 or 4 weeks. I think that they're getting good at the game. Like, not to say that they weren't like good before, but I think they're like starting to ascend. They're starting to like see things that they weren't seeing before without like the use of Steve. And I think it's one of those things where, like, if you ever think about people like Smash 4, right, it's kind of different with like Melee and Brawl, because the character rosters were so small that like if you picked up Meta Knight or something, or Fox, like, that don't matter. There's 10 million of them out there. But these like Smash 4 and all have larger rosters, so you get to see like the diversity. But if you think about like the Bayonetta players from the last game, like, yeah, they may not have started out the best players in the world, and they were just, hey, Bayonetta's carrying you, blah, 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 blah. Hey, that's probably true. But they got so many reps now that, like, now they're actually good. Like, you look at Lima in this game, you're like, well, I don't think you're calling them. But no. But you look at Lima in this game, you're like, bro, Lima is, like, incredible, right? And I think Anand's kind of, like, starting to take that path where, like, you would watch them before and you'd be like, bro, they're just doing minecart anvil, minecart back air, like blah, 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 like triple F smash, whatever. But now a lot of times when I'm watching Anand, I'm like, that was pretty impressive. Like, oh, that was a pretty good thought. Like, where'd that go? Like, oh, I'm kind of enjoying this. Like, I didn't think that would happen. But yeah, like, I actually kind of, I've developed like an appreciation for Anand's gameplay as of recent. I think it's getting a little unique, a little creative, and they're not just like full flowchart, which is something that I felt like was the case before. And I think that also attests to why they've been doing so much better recently, or where they sometimes they just look unbeatable. Even versus who do they play Spargo, right? And like, I think Spargo like got like some early stocks and like they still kept the game close, or maybe yes, even won the game.
That was very noticeable the whole bracket.
So
yes, hey, that was pretty close, or the games for sure were close.
Yeah.
I mean, genuinely thought Syrup was gonna win the whole fucking tournament. Syrup just always like just sneaking into the top.
Always
eight.
There. Always there.
Yeah, like, and got third place, like kind of quietly.
It's expected at this point. So
yeah, at one point I genuinely thought Syrup could win the whole bracket. I honestly predicted it at one point, but I kind of forgot Spargo was down there in losers. But yeah, that's just the faith I had in Syrup, because sometimes when players are just quietly making it through winner's bracket while a bunch of other storylines are happening and it's like very intense, but like there's the player that's just kind of 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-1, 3-1, 3-0, like, and they're just in top eight. I think it's really important to look at those players because they haven't had to exhaust anything crazy yet, and they're like already in the top eight, top five range. So usually they're a good candidate to win the whole thing. And that was my logic with Syrup, just because I felt like they were so comfortable. But yeah, Spargo obviously was just so heated up that it was just, it just felt like inevitable. But yeah, that was Gommel. It was a fun time. I'm glad I was reminded. Y'all reminded me to talk about that because I forgot episode 200 was so specific to itself. But yeah, there was also the SoCal stuff. I didn't watch as much. I actually have a funny story. I was streaming the Sunday event, but there were some like Donkey Kong Bonanza leaks while I was live.
Oh, snap.
And I literally couldn't focus anymore. Don't worry, I'm not going to say any of the leaks. I haven't spoiled any friends that didn't already want to be spoiled. And I was literally like, chat, like, I'm going to go. I need a moment. Like, these leaks are crazy. But yeah.
Chuck looking up the leaks.
I showed him some of them.
Yes, I have. I am informed of the leaks. I'm very happy.
So, yeah, it's really cool. But I didn't get to watch that much of the bracket. So I don't have as much to say other than like what Charles was saying earlier, like the collective of like Mexico plus NorCal plus SoCal is really cool. Like, I feel like that's a really good combination for a regional. But I don't have as many specifics as I did watching 30 hours of golf.
Yeah, I watched like the Saturday part until maybe like Leo got to like win his finals or something like that. And I was like, Leo's going to wrap this up. Like, let's just keep moving, which is something I did want to mention as like a testament to Leo. People, you know, we obviously, Leo's the GOAT. Like, hey, this could be our Jordan. I don't know. Bro's the GOAT. Anyway, he is still very, very good, and he probably won't lose to, probably, like, more likely than not, won't lose to anyone he's not supposed to lose to. Like, I looked at that event, and I was like, Karama's here. He might lose to Karama. And
that was the biggest curveball.
That is it. I was like, that is it. There's nobody else here that can beat him. I'm sorry. Like, no offense to everyone that was competing that weekend. Like, he's just that good at the game. Like, and he's that consistent where, like, he's going to show up. As long as his character choices are in line, like, and he's feeling confident with what characters he's going to play. And he's not like, well, for this matchup, I should play this and blah, blah, blah. He's just like, I'm confident in this character today, and I'm picking this character. Like, when he's like that, like,
yeah,
good luck.
There's a big difference.
Good luck.
Between, like, a flow chart and, like, a just, like, how you wake up.
Yeah.
I always like that. I did see one of the really nice full sets I saw on Sunday was Karama Luis. And I do want to point out that it did look like Karama was on one. Like,
oh, Karama was
playing really fucking well in that set. So I'm not surprised that Leo and Karama had, like, a heated grand finals. I wish I could talk to you more about the specifics of that. I know it was, like, game five, set two. Yeah, I was really impressed with Karama's gameplay versus Luis. He looked very comfortable. He was doing some pretty creative confirms. He's just playing well. That's, like, the main one I saw before I stopped being locked in on the stream, I'm not going to lie.
Karama's interesting because, like, he's one of those players who doesn't go to much.
Yeah.
You see him, like, two or three times a year. And then you watch them play and you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, if they showed up to more stuff, like, this would be a problem. Like, so it's always interesting to watch them play. I'm always excited to watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun just watching a lot of SoCal just duke it out with out-of-region talent, whether it be NorCal, whether it be Mexico. I mean, this tournament was extremely stacked. On the first day, it was Saturday, there was an open bracket tournament with a prize pool where... So on Sunday, it was an invitational bracket. So it was just a smaller bracket, and there was already preset players locked into that bracket. But those players could also compete on the Saturday tournament. So that was, like, the only kind of confusing thing with the bracket format. So the first day, I think the two players that got a lot farther than they did on the second day were Monty and Kirash. So they got really, really far on the first day bracket. And then on the second day bracket, they got cut short a little bit. And yeah, it was just overall extremely fun to watch. I'll start off with, I'll go grands and kind of work my way back. But Karamaleo was extremely fun to watch. Very explosive set. The first set, Karama was very hot coming out from losers, and Karama kind of bodied Leo 3-0 that set. Even on the third game, I believe we saw the Byleth come out. And, oh, man. I, like, watching Leo's Byleth nowadays, and I'm just like, man, it's crazy because you just see how, like, not... I mean, I don't think the character's horrible, but comparatively to Aegis, like,
you know,
the character's definitely lacking if we're going to compare Aegis and Byleth, like, just two sword characters, one being way better than the other. And it's just crazy to think back, and it's like, dang, Leo was bodying everyone with this character, which is just so wild to think about because Byleth is very much so lacking. So this tournament for Leo was mainly switching between the Joker and the Aegis. The Aegis was looking really clean, really liked some of the switches, was actually kind of sticking it out with Pyra at some of the later percents. There was even a couple times where Leo got punished for that and just, like, lost the stock. But I saw, what I meant to say was stayed Mithra more so. But it was crazy to see Leo utilizing a lot of the tech too, just, like, spot dodging out of shield against multi-hits and then getting the foresight punish afterwards.
Yeah, where the spot dodging is coming from.
Oh, like, that could be it, yeah.
He's been spot dodging quite a bit, and he does do very, very deliberate foresight attempt. So
I think so. Spot dodging, especially pre-quarantine, was seen as a pretty scrubby option, not gonna lie, but it is a strong mechanic. If you don't know,
if you're, like, reading someone, it's not something I do as much normally,
right?
Like, instead of going for a parry, you, like, spot dodge for frame advantage on, like, a whiff,
frame advantage,
like,
yes,
yeah.
So if you don't know, in every other Smash game, spot dodge pretty much had like a set amount of time where you would just be like, okay, this is the startup frame, and then you're invincible this frame, and then you're actionable in this frame, right? In Ultimate, you can actually cancel 4 frames of ending lag from your spot dodge if you buffer an attack. It's called spot dodge canceling. So it's, you know, obviously very strong. And I think there's even, you know, I don't think we've developed the meta completely around it in terms of like figuring everything out. I've even, you know, theory crafted with other smashers some things like, man, maybe it's better to spot dodge an aerial and then buffer an attack rather than like going for a parry, because the spot dodge feels a bit safer as long as you kind of do it more towards the later end, right? And because when you go for a parry, it's a bit riskier in terms of like you could be dropping your shield, but maybe you can get somewhat the same frame advantage, because when you parry you get 3 frames of frame advantage, but spot dodge canceling you get 4. So in theory, maybe spot dodging is better than parrying on certain aerials and stuff like that, right? Yeah. So even just weaving a bunch of different things. And
combined
then Mithra,
with foresight, potentially.
Yeah, and then you add in Mithra and you're like, yo, my dodge roll is, you know, witch time pretty much, right? I'm like slowing them out, closing the gap. And I think that's something that we saw instantly applied was Pyromithra players just using like rolling in through, because like rolling through a projectile is also just something that you've done throughout all of Smash history, right? If you just want to dodge roll through a projectile, that's, you know, a perfectly fine option. But then yeah, I think Leo showcased in a ton of situations the spot dodge on a platform when Palutena's up airing or nairing, and then you just get the foresight and punish and stuff like that. Mario down air,
sorry,
the tech chase. Bro, they always fuck it up.
Bro, I'm so glad, because like that is something. Oh, that's unfortunate. That is something that like actually bothers me.
I know it
like,
bothers
this
me,
late
yeah.
into like this late into the game when you've been playing the character for this long, like, and you know the tech chase is coming. Them. You like, how can you? You're Mithra, like you can just react. But, like, a lot of times I get it. Like, they're going for the read. They want the down tilt because down tilt gives you more damage. But it's, like, or you could just become Spargo and, like, get the sequence right and figure out stuff afterward instead of going for max. Anyway, it's all good. Like, that's why Spargo's the best. Like, that's why Spargo's the best. It's fine.
Yeah, true. Playing like Spargo is not easy. Because if it was... Everyone
just
mash. Would
just
do it.
He's just a
yeah.
masher.
True. Oh yeah, guys, Spargo just mash like Spargo, dude. You're mashing wrong.
All right, that about does it for us. Thank you for supporting the show as always. Episode.
Wait, one last shout out. I just want to shout out 2 players that did well at the tournament. So Atreus is, Atreus is a Palutena player from SoCal. Had an incredible run. I believe got. Third place, losing to Kurama. And Lammers, originally from NorCal, that was in SoCal for a bit, but
both tournaments, right? Or mainly the
yeah, Lammers did well in both. And Lammers locked the fuck in on the second day because that me gunner infinite ammo glitch was going. Infinite ammo glitch, and I was just watching Kirash just running across stage trying to get to the gunner with the infinite ammo glitch. So hey, stuck with the strategy and it worked, so shout outs. I mean, I can't, at the end of the day, some strategies are like lame, but also you're trying to win with me gunner, so do what you gotta do, you know what I mean? Like, it's just there's a lot of characters that are harder to win with, so you're gonna have to result like do strategies that are strong for the characters. Shout out those 2 players.
One more thing, sorry, it's just crossed my mind. I know it's going to be in the comments. Somebody actually, Dorimigi is most likely to be ranked first because Dorimigi is the most consistent. Blah blah blah. Who knows, man? Like, I don't know. Like, it could be Dorimigi, but I'm saying like Akola winning Kagaribi is like huge, and he could be ranked first. And if Hurt won Kagaribi or did very well, it was allowed to compete, then he probably would have been ranked first. But I don't know. Anyway,
right. Have a good one, y'all. Thank you.